Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my guest today is playing at the iHeart Halal Festival this weekend. From the Rhymesayers Collective, it's Brother Ali.
You're not using your heart for what hearts are for. They've been trying to shut us down our whole life. I thank God for healing. You ain't got to give me lit. I got my own life. Thank God for listening. Listen, you've been trying to build me up my whole life.
Brother Ali is a great hip-hop artist out of Minneapolis. Albums like Us and Morning in America and Dreaming in Color make him one of the best independent MCs working today. His latest album is called All the Beauty in This Whole Life, which was produced back in 2017. Brother Ali has always been an MC with a social message. His lyrics point out inequalities and social injustices in this country. Brother Ali is performing at the iHeart Halal Festival at Navy Pier. He joins me in studio. Welcome to Extension 720. Great to have you.
Happy to be here. Thank you so much.
When did hip-hop first speak to you?
Ever since I was very, very young. So I'm an albino, and which means I don't have the normal pigment that I would have in my skin, hair, and eyes. And also, we moved around a lot in the Midwest in these little towns in the 80s. And so I was always a new kid in school and looked really different. Yeah. You know, really got some really horrific treatment from my fellow students. So my mom had the idea. My mom's a pretty white lady. She's passed away since then, but she was adopted into a Norwegian family in Wisconsin. So she dyed her hair blonde to fit in. So she thought, well, like, we'll just dye your hair and we'll get you some tinted glasses and nobody will know that you're an albino, which seems like it would be a good idea, but it's a really difficult and arduous process to dye hair that doesn't have any pigment to hold on to. And then also I realized that not only was I, you know, changing my appearance, but in a way it was almost co-signing the idea that what they say about me is right. That they're right to be belittling.
That you were covering something up, right?
That it was something to be covered up.
Right.
That their critique, that they're, what they're saying about me is right, and that I should try to look more like the people that were dehumanizing me and treating me so poorly. And it actually was black elders that taught me about the idea of black is beautiful. Like, you will never be happy until you accept and embrace who you are and really live through that. So that's when I was in second grade, all this is happening.
Oh, wow.
And so that opened me up to the idea that there are certain things that my mom's not going to be able to teach me because of her experience that I'll actually learn from the black experience in America. And really, that's why all of us love black music and black culture, even though we don't admit that to ourselves. We're all trying to figure out how to be a human in modernity. That's really anti-human environment that we live in. And African people being the first human beings, it's really like learning from the common ancestor and parent of all of humanity what it means to be human. So hip-hop comes into me as a way to save my life, not just a way to sing and dance and get followers on social media.
And there really is a distinction there, because the, you know, obviously since you started and you are one of the more independent MCs working today, but this has become a cottage industry, a huge industry in the way that people get into it, not necessarily for love of the music or love of humanity, as you were mentioning, but for fame and fortune.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like everything else in the modern world. We have learned how to commodify everything that comes out of a human being. So, you know, anything that we naturally do, we have to turn into an industry. And then you have to compete with other people in that industry, which is all well and good, and it's understandable. And for people that are able to be successful, that's great. I'm really fortunate that we have an independent label and people that support us, so that I never needed the participation of the music industry to be able to feed my family. It's also good that I have spiritual teachers that have taught me how to live within my means. Mm-hmm. So I'm able to still be generous without needing to have a big label deal. Then you do have like people like Lupe, who I'm performing with at iHeart Halal, who did get a major record deal and never stopped saying what he knew to be true. So he got in that space and operated like an independent artist, because no matter how much money you dangle in front of him, you can't buy a Lupe Fiasco.
You have carved out a great niche in your career to be politically active and to be socially conscious. And this is something that you hear in every single song that you put out. You seem to be not only speaking about your own experiences, but being able to almost represent the plight of inequality in this country. And you do it over and over and over in these lyrics. What calls you to that? What calls you to that, to be the spokesperson for the have-nots?
Well, I'm a spokesperson for myself. But myself is a person who was saved by people who loved me and cared about me. You know, one of my mentors is Dr. Cornel West, who says, I am what I am because somebody loved me. And the reality of those people training me and looking after me and caring for me and teaching me has carried on throughout my life. And so I speak for myself, and I speak as a person who needed help, and then also a person who genuinely, I never speak for other people, mm-hmm. but I speak as somebody in the first person who loves them. And, you know, and there's so many ways for that, that is a reality. In Chicago, this, you know, wonderful group that's been doing this for 20 years on the south side of Chicago called IMAN, Inner City Muslim Action Network, who bring together the political activists and organizers, the people that are fighting for social justice, and also the artists and also the Muslim religious scholars, mm-hmm. and bring them into spaces together. And so they've been doing this work for 20 years. The first time that I met Lupe was at an IMAN event. You know, they do these Taking It to the Streets festival on the south side of Chicago, and these community cafe joints that are really about allowing people to heal through arts and culture. And one of the things that made me so excited to do iHeart Halal this year was that IMAN is partnering with them, that they actually brought IMAN in as the people, like I said, that have been doing this for decades, to say, like, how do we do this the right way? You know, there's such a disconnect even within the Muslim community with immigrants that come and have really, you know, access to education and resources and become affluent members mm-hmm. of society, that a lot of times they forget that African-American inner city Muslims were the first people to really wave the flag and make it possible for Muslims to be in America, people like Muhammad Ali and others. So for iHeart Halal to reach out to them and basically say, like, we need your mentorship, we need your guidance, that IMAN has always seen hip-hop as being something that needs to be spiritually rooted and socially conscious and spatially relevant, that we know that hip-hop is a means of survival for people on the south side of Chicago, on the west side of Chicago,
right.
Black and brown and disenfranchised communities, that this is how people survive. So somebody like me that needs to survive in a different way, but like for the survival of my soul, for the survival of my spirit, for the survival of my identity, I need to survive. So finding that inspiration in hip-hop is something that anybody that understands what the assault of the modern world is can find that.
I asked you earlier about how you found hip-hop, but, you know, the other course of your life has been finding spirituality and finding religion. Mm-hmm. And you have a story about, at the age of 15, converting to Islam. Talk us through that. How does that happen at the age of 15?
I've always been a religious person, a spiritual person, and I've always known that everybody is. You know, for people that are, you know, identify as being atheist or agnostic, I don't want to be presumptuous. But when I say that, I mean that the same thing that makes people respond to music, where like there's a truth in beauty, there's a truth in justice, love is true, justice is true. There is such a thing as a truth. If you study only the academy, you know, the academy says, well, you have to prove a truth claim in a worldly, material way. But there's something in the heart that responds to beauty and truth and love and service and justice and gentleness that's a universal reality. So the specific spiritual explanation and language of Islam mm-hmm. has always spoken to me in its universality. It basically says that there's one source of it all. There's one unseen source that we all come from, and that every human being knows that divine source by right. And we have different languages to explain it. We have different understandings of it. Some will even say that they don't believe in God. But I've yet to meet a person that has any light in their heart
right.
that doesn't believe in beauty and truth.
I don't at all want to be flip about it, but there's such parallels in the conversation we're having, where you spoke so eloquently about hip-hop and what hip-hop has done for you, and then eloquently about your religion, about being Muslim. They're similar. They may not be both rooted in seriousness, but there's something about those two, at least explanations from you, that are similar, that seem to cross paths.
They are similar. And the reality for people that really study hip hop, Dr. Suad Abdul Khabir, who lives in Chicago a lot of the time, wrote a book about this called Muslim Cool, where the reality is that, you know, hip hop was founded by people who were in New York, in the South Bronx, who were inspired by the Nation of Islam, by the 5% Nation of Gods and Earths. You know, hip hop has always been and provided the language, and also the language for Black urban Islam. Mm-hmm. And Black urban Islam is the spirituality of hip hop. So, you know, Malcolm X is, you could say, maybe the savior, the Christ figure of hip hop. Minister Louis Farrakhan, who's here in Chicago, is, you know, the Pope of hip hop. So even if somebody's not a Muslim, but you watch Eminem's body language when he meets Minister Farrakhan, he's beside himself. You know, somebody like Kendrick Lamar or Chance the Rapper, who are Christian, when they meet Minister Farrakhan, it's like they're meeting a religious figure in their lives. So hip-hop is the modern language of Islam. Mm-hmm. And Islam always inspires poetry in the people that come into it. So the Persians come into Islam. The Turks come into Islam, and you have Rumi and Hafiz, you know, these great poetry traditions. South Asians come into Islam, and then you have people like Iqbal and others. And African-Americans come into Islam, and African-Americans have history in West Africa, which is mostly Muslim. And a lot of the people that were enslaved and brought to this country were Muslim. And there were West African Muslims here before Columbus, before the Europeans ever came. So all of these things are absolutely connected. If you only know about hip hop from commercial radio, mm-hmm. you'd think hip hop was about materialism
right.
and that
or,
it hates women.
Or if you know hip hop from just, I guess, what gets called out by people who may not be fans of hip hop is the language and
yeah.
and some of the things that don't seem spiritual or religious or pious at all.
Or positive
yeah,
in
they're
any
positive
way.
In any way. So,
yeah.
so reconciling those two things
yeah.
is something that a lot of people are critical
I would say
of hip hop.
It's the same
say.
If you only learn about Islam. If the only thing you know about Islam you learn from the news, I couldn't blame somebody who, if you only know hip hop from commercial radio. Or if you only know Islam from the news, I could see why you wouldn't like either one of those things. No healthy, sane person would. And so I'm just in a position where, like, I know what hip hop really is from experience. If somebody hasn't had that experience, I can't fault them.
Right.
And the same is true for Islam. I know it from experience. And if somebody doesn't have that experience, I can't fault them. But I would hope that people would be open enough to say, well, like, okay, why are people flocking to Islam? Why are people flocking to hip hop? There must be something there that I don't know about.
Yeah, right. And it is interesting to think about it that way. The work you've done with Rhymesayers over the years in Minneapolis, the independent collective that we mentioned right at the beginning, it's been able, as you said, to feed your family and to keep you independent. A lot of the issues that you speak on, whether it be political or religious or social, are not ready for prime time, meaning they're not ready for commercial radio, as we were just talking about. But you have this ability to stay independent and stay true to that voice. That has to mean something to you and keep you coming back to collectives like Rhymesayers.
It's a tremendous honor to be one of the few people that's been able to do that without the participation of the music industry and also without needing their permission. And it's a really beautiful thing that really speaks to the realities that we're talking about. And, you know, Chicago is one of the cities that supported us so tremendously throughout the years. It was the first city outside of Minneapolis to really embrace us, that we've been coming and doing shows at the Metro for 20 years and selling it out every time. And, you know, it's a really incredible thing. But the reality is that this music spreads from people who love each other, sharing it with each other. So you don't learn about it from seeing it in the Super Bowl. You don't learn about it from hearing it on commercial radio most of the time. You know, you're very kind to share it with us, you know.
Yeah.
But most of the time you learn about our music because somebody that loves you is like, hey, you should check this out. And that's a tremendous honor.
And it is something I think in Chicago we've witnessed in the last couple of years, an independent music scene that has almost eclipsed a commercial music scene, where because of the successes of Chance the Rapper and Lupe Fiasco to an extent and other artists, you have seen more light shines on independent artists in this town than ever before. Is that a good thing? Are we going to see more and more independent artists innovating and using their real voices, or will it get co-opted and everybody thinks they can be an independent artist and they're just going to keep putting stuff on SoundCloud until we can't take it anymore?
That's the nature of capitalism, and not that I'm anti-capitalist necessarily, you know, but it's just, you know, in any system you have to understand what its flaws are. And that's one of the flaws of capitalism, is that's the way it works, you know, that if somebody's able to do something and it's successful, then there becomes an industry around it where people are there for the purpose of that success. And then also when we say independent, there are certain artists that don't have record label financing, but they still have major
right.
corporate investors. You know what I mean? So we can say that certain artists are independent, but they do have big money behind them.
They changed the model.
And I'm saying that's the case with Chance. But I will say that the fact that with Chance, what he proved is that he could be extremely overtly spiritual and religious in his music, where the record music and the record label industry would have said, you can't do that. That's a niche thing. That's Christian rap. And Chance proved that, like, me as a Muslim, when Chance says, I speak to God in public, I talk to God in public. You know what I'm saying? His music, blessings keep falling in my... His music's part of my relationship with God now. Like, I cry every time I hear that. When he says that line, particularly, specifically, I talk to God in public. Like, that's what I do. And so, you know, by him creating and opening up that new way of doing it, we're like, you can't do what he's done without millions of dollars to promote your music. But he didn't get that from a record label. He got it from other investors. But he still got it.
Yeah.
So there is still a difference between what Chance is doing and what I'm doing. But the fact that that spirit of, like, I'm going to be who I am, I'm going to tell what I do. He's not for sale. That's the difference. Lupe had a big record label behind him. He had a major label, you know, but he's not for sale. That's important, too. You know, nobody ever offered to buy my soul. So the fact that I haven't sold my soul is different. They did try to buy Lupe. You can't buy Lupe. He knows that for sure now. You know what I mean? You can't buy Chance. He knows it for sure.
Yeah.
You know.
It's great having you here. Brother Ali, longtime MC, part of the Rhymesayers Collective out of Minneapolis. His latest album, which back in 2017, All the Beauty in This Whole Life, he is opening up for Lupe Fiasco at the iHeart Halal Festival at Navy Pier coming up Friday through Sunday. I can't thank you enough for stopping by, for talking to me tonight. And the door is always open. You come back through Chicago, we'd love to continue the conversation. Brother Ali, thanks for being here.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.